From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 20th day of May 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. A bit later in the program, we'll hear about the situation as it relates to new crop corn sales from Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist at the University of Illinois, how that'll play with the prevented planting decisions that could be making. And we'll hear from Gary Schnitke, too, on that subject. And then, as we close out our time together, we'll talk about the weather forecast. That'll be the deciding factor in a whole bunch of this. We'll do that with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois, right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. I was a bit surprised that corn struggled to maintain its gains throughout the day.
Well, yeah, it was a good gain, but compared to where we were a week ago, we've added about 50 cents a bushel to the price of corn. The main kind of thing here is we're back near the highs that we kept running into all winter long. So the key now is to try to push on up through those levels and see if we can add a little bit more premium to the marketplace. When you look at the July and the September contracts, we gapped higher and left a little bit of a gap there in the July and September contracts. And so if we're able to hold this gap, maybe that'll set the stage here to try to keep the momentum to the upside. But yeah, we're getting a little overbought. We're up against some resistance in through here, so we'll need to continue to feed the bull. But the main event, of course, to be this afternoon's planting progress report and kind of have some type of benchmark on how far along the nation has moved here since last week on progress.
What is the trade expecting?
They've got a wide opinion. The range on corn is 42 to 61%. Percent complete versus 30% last week. The average guess is 50%. There was some pretty good headway in central Illinois. There was some fairly good activity up in Minnesota. So we definitely made some headway, but there's still a large percentage that's still kind of struggling, trying to get caught up here over the next few days if the weather cooperates. Illinois number last week, 11%. See how big of a bounce we get there. Indiana was 6% last week, and Ohio was 4%. So all eyes are definitely on the eastern part of the Corn Belt. Normally, it's about 80% this time of year. So even for 50%, we're still lagging quite a bit, and most producers are still trying to get the crop in the ground prior to June 1.
Is there any expectation that Iowa will have made much progress?
Well, you could see maybe a 20% jump there. Usually your biggest jump seems to be in this 30 to 70%. After that, it kind of gets a little slow. We'll see what happens. The big thing's beans. Some of these progress reports for corn might not be as far as long, because there's quite a few producers been putting some beans in, and so there might be a few more beans in than what the trade realizes.
Anything else on your list this week besides the weather and the crop progress reports?
Well, a lot of the focus is on the weather, but the other thing that occurred, I think, had some real good support was Trump backing off on the steel and aluminum tariffs. So therefore, kind of opens the door to move ag products back and forth. And with Mexico front and center on grain and pork, I think that's huge. Also, too, the auto with Europe and Japan. A lot of grain goes into Japan, a lot of meat world trade. So I think those are fairly significant steps to keep an eye on, and it sort of helps the cause in through here for the most part. The other thing continues to be prevent plant. Producers continue to keep that in the back of their mind. Just a lot of moving parts involved on that. Of course, everybody's seen the flow charts. If you do this, you should go here, and so forth. So it's a work in process. But visiting with producers, I think they're wanting to give them a little bit more time. Those were dead set on switching to beans here by mid-May, have committed to, you know, still sticking with corn. So I've not seen anybody really switching to beans yet, per se. And for the Prevent plant, they're trying to figure all their expenses by taking Prevent plant. You know, the addition, you're just not going to get one check and not have any expenses. You got cover crop. You're still probably going to have a lease or a loan to pay on machinery. Even though you don't have your chemicals on or your nitrogen in your ground, for those products still paid for, you got to talk to the ag supplier and see what type of arrangements there. So a lot of things to juggle here, Todd.
Hey, thank you so much, Kurt.
Very good. Take care.
That's Kurt Kimball with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Hopefully you've seen this by now, but maybe not. After the close on Friday, Gary Schnitke dropped down to my office here in Mumford Hall to talk about Prevent Plant and what that means for farmers in Illinois and across the whole of the United States. We started our discussion with crop insurance because prevented planting is part of crop insurance. I had forgotten that your crop insurance guarantee actually begins to ratchet down after the prevent plant date is reached in Illinois. That's June the 5th. Here's how Gary explained it.
But once we reach that date, we begin to reduce the crop insurance guarantee. So if you have an RP guarantee and it originally starts out at, say, $600 per acre, every day after the final planting date, you reduce it 1%. So 1% down, 1% the first day, another 2%, or 2% the second day, 3% the third day, and so on. That continues throughout the late planting period, which in Illinois is 20 days. After you get to the end of that, the guarantee is 60% of the original guarantee.
So as the crop insurance guarantee ratchets down, it incentivizes producers to take Prevent Plant.
Calculating the Prevent Planting payment is really, really easy. It's 55% of your revenue guarantee. What you really should figure out, or have your crop insurance specialist figure out, is how many acres are eligible for prevented planting payments on corn for each one of your insurable units. If that happens to be 60 acres, for example, let's say, and you plant 50, you could take 10 acres of prevented planting on corn. So getting that number down would be a good thing, along with the prevented planting payment. Then you would compare that to what you expect returns to be for both corn and probably soybean. My calculations would say that we have to have a price increase to get corn acres in, or to keep, once we get to the prevented planting payment date, we need price increases to get corn acres. And, you know, something north of $4 per bushel is probably needed, and maybe much more than that to get corn acres after that prevented planting date. Because we will likely have yield declines. So to equal what we get from that prevented planting payment, we need some higher prices than we currently have.
You can read more on prevented planting from Gary Schnitke on the Farm Doc Daily website. I've also posted the video of this discussion with him on our website at willag.org. And next Monday, Memorial Day, I'll run the full 15-minute interview during the closing market report, so tune in on that day. That'll be just about the time that most in Illinois will really need to be considering what that prevent plant decision means to their operations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Todd Hubbs now joins us, agricultural economist that watches the markets here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Thanks, Todd, for being with us. This is an interesting week because we're approaching the first set of prevent plant dates for corn. That's May 25th. I think that's Saturday coming up, June 5 in the state of Illinois. The market has rallied for corn. Gary Schnitke last week said, look, given what I see in the prevented plant numbers and the payments that farmers in Illinois, probably much the Midwest, would receive, we're going to have a whole lot better than $4 cash in order to entice producers to keep planting corn. Weather systems are coming in, and it looks like they're going to be stalled. So I don't know where this market's headed, but boy, there's a whole lot happening at this time.
Yeah, there really is. I mean, you've seen corn prices close up over the last week on almost every trading session. I think there's room to run. You know, we'll get the progress report this afternoon. I'm thinking somewhere in the low 50% range on corn. It may not even be that. I might be surprised. But we're looking at millions of acres that are basically going to come up against their prevent plant date, particularly out in the northern plains. That 525 date, that's both Dakotas, Nebraska, large parts of Kansas, northeast Missouri, parts of Minnesota. Now, they're coming right up against it. And based on what the weather's looking like this week, this thing may be a wash. So it's going to come down to, can the market buy out these prevent plant acres? And right now, when you look at the Dease corn price, market doesn't seem to want to get away from that $4 range, and that's not enough. So we'll see what happens this week. I think you might see the corn market start to stretch its legs a little bit this week as a full import of these horrible planting conditions start to sink in.
And it's just really a matter of waiting at this point, I suppose.
I think so. You know, there's a lot of calculations to be done on if prevent plant works for you personally. But like you said, Gary Schnitke sort of numbered it out. And it depends on your cash rent level and, you know, did you put on fall fertilizer? And there's a lot of moving parts to that number. But I would be surprised if we didn't see a substantial amount of prevent plant acres in corn this year.
So the secondary question the producers will be asking themselves, and it may be the primary question at this point after they decide whether they're taking prevent plant or not, is what do I do with old crop corn, and will it follow along?
I think it will. I think you've got some time to wait if you're storing some corn and you're looking to price it. A lot of the action will be a new crop, I think, once this comes in, but I think it will follow along. And even if you didn't want to sell it over the summer, if you had the space to carry it into the fall, I think you'd see opportunities there. So I'm sort of in a wait-and-see mode on both old crop and new crop corn prices. I understand if you want to take a position, you're like, I'm good with this and get out, but it feels to me, you know, we're staring maybe a billion bushel cut of this corn crop in the face when you take into account acreage reduction and late planting yield hit, and it could be much bigger. So I'm sort of in a wait and see mode when I'm thinking about marketing corn right now.
You're talking about 1.4, 1.5 billion as a carryout.
Next year in 1920, we'll probably see some demand rationing. If there's one thing that the ethanol industry doesn't need right now is high corn prices. So, you know, there's a little bit of demand cut back in that. So would it be 1.4, 1.5? I don't think it'll get that low, but we could see well below 2 billion.
Soybean acreage for the trade has been usually, if we don't plant corn, we're going to put soybeans on those acres. That appears not to be the case this year. That'll be helpful to that market, but it's still a whole different function.
It is. And, you know, there's a lot of little intricacies going on right now, particularly surrounding what looks like another set of market facilitation payments. And I think how they structure those matters. And I would prefer them to decouple them from production. If they don't, it could change the story completely. So if they do it like they did last year and link a $1.65 or $2 soybean payment to production, you may see a bigger acreage shift in soybeans than we would normally expect under the current market conditions, because I think there's still some downside room to soybean exports of this marketing year, particularly if this China trade deal doesn't come to fruition. and I see no indications of that stopping anytime soon. So we're looking at a large, large carryout in soybeans in 18-19 and 19-20, and we really don't need any more acres. But, you know, depending on how they structure these payments, it may incentivize people to plant more soybean acres.
The corn-soy ratio, how narrow can it get, I guess?
I think there's still some room to run there. You know, low $8 soybean prices, to me in this market environment, I feel like that's a decent range to be in for the soybean cash prices, but there's some downside there, particularly if the trade deal falls apart and we get a June acreage report that shows more acreage than we would like to see. My opinion is over the next month, we might see corn and soybean prices disconnect a bit. They tend to run together, and I think you're going to maybe see a disconnect between the two as we move into the summer.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
Todd Hubbs is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Let's turn our attention now to the cash grain market. Brian Stark joins us from the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Brian. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for having me.
I know that the trade is looking forward to this afternoon's weekly crop progress report. What are your expectations?
Well, I think if you speak specifically to Illinois, I think best case scenario, the state moves from 11% to 35%. I guess that's our conservative guess. Just too sporadic of a window here late last week for guys to get rolling. But the average trade guess for the nation is 50%. And I'm just wondering if that's a tad bit aggressive. Given some of the wet weather we experienced, it really will depend on the Western Corn Belt kind of bringing up the average because the East has been a little inconsistent. So all eyes are pointed on that, and I think that'll have obviously a big impact to how we trade this evening.
What's basis look like locally?
Basis on the corn side obviously has somewhat gotten better. It's firmed at the processor level, and I think the end user continues to live hand to mouth, and I think the nervousness will climb here over the next week to 10 days depending on how plant progress or planting progress progresses. And from there, if we don't make good progress here as we approach some of the prevent plant dates, I think the end user will continue to try and gain more coverage to bridge that gap between old crop and new crop.
Do you have a rough estimate for the prevented planting acres for corn?
It's too early to tell. I think the corn market has rallied here in the last week. I think as it continues to do so, I think we'll encourage the producer to continue to consider planting past our prevent plant date, which is June 5th. I think, you know, from our standpoint, the Upper Northwest, May 25th is approaching quickly this Saturday, and I think you'll start to hear some of that from a progress standpoint. I think it's going to be above normal, but I don't think anybody's got a good handle on just how large it might be yet.
Anything on the soybeans before I let you go?
No, I think beans are a follower. It's good to see a little bit of recovery from the big sell-off on Friday, but it's really a corn story right now as we approach these prevent plant dates, and beans will kind of go along for the ride.
And what are your bids for the day?
This afternoon, cash corn is $3.69, new crop corn $3.79, cash soybeans $7.88, new crop fall soybeans $7.98, and new crop July wheat $4.58.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Todd.
Brian Stark is with the Andersons. On this Monday afternoon, we're now joined by Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago. We have a lot to cover. Start in the Western Corn Belt, the Northwest, where it's been cold. They've had a lot of rain, and work your way to the east. Tell me what conditions will be like for planting corn this week.
Well, the bottom line, Todd, is that the pattern will continue to be wet, actually not only this week, but even on into next week as well. Really just focusing on this week as we look at one main storm system coming through actually today into tomorrow, followed up by another event here, you know, late this week. When you combine the two, so basically putting together rainfall amounts from now through Friday night, in general across the Northwestern belt, totals will range from 1 inch to above 3 inches. Now, the highest totals in around 3 inches, that will be in sections of western Iowa into southeast South Dakota, northeastern Nebraska. And as you go north of there, the totals will decrease. But overall, it's, again, another window of moderate to heavy rainfall here coming up.
And from this side of Des Moines, meaning going east through Ohio, what do you see?
Certainly, as you go further east, totals will be tapering off. Now, kind of the dividing line between areas that will receive above 1 inch of rain and then, you know, below 1 inch of rain. Actually, it's like right around here, like, you know, Illinois is the dividing line. If anything, it's kind of right around Interstate 55. You go west of there, especially as you get into western Illinois and then Iowa, your totals increase above 1.5, even above 2 inches. As you go, you know, east of I-55, totals will then decrease with some of the lightest amounts coming up this week in Indiana and Ohio, and specifically those totals that we're forecasting anywhere from, you know, a tenth of an inch to a quarter, maybe a few areas a half, but generally in that lower end of the range between now and Friday night.
And then next week, where does the rain fall?
It looks like a similar situation, Todd. If anything, some of the higher rainfall totals extend east into areas of the Eastern Belt in Iowa or into Indiana, Ohio, Michigan. But again, another storm system coming through, or a continuation of what's a series of storm systems and continuing to produce frequent, you know, moderate to heavy rainfall here across both the western and the eastern Corn Belt. Highest totals still look further west, but the east looks to be a bit more involved next week.
Before I let you go, what's with the cold temperatures and how unusual are those in the Dakotas?
Yeah, certainly very unusual here, especially with readings of 8, 9, 10, even a few areas 12 degrees colder than normal, and some of the precip has actually been in the form of snow in recent days. Again, a pattern more similar of back late winter or early spring versus here in now late May. One of the primary reasons for that, and I'll keep it pretty short here, Todd, we still have this higher latitude blocking, which is forcing the cold weather across Canada into the northern U.S., and that's actually that combined with the strong ridging across the southeastern U.S., that's a setup here for the continuation of widespread heavy rain. So we do see the cooler weather continuing, especially this week, with then some easing of those temperatures next week.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.